Hi everyone, this is Yachting International Radio, Diversity in Yachting. I'm your host, Gabriella, and this is my lovely guest, Katie Storr, today. She is a PADI master scuba diver instructor, a conservationist, a chief stewardess. The list goes on and on. I'll let her fill you in, and let's welcome her to the show.
My name is Katie Storr. I am a stewardess. I do have a chief stewardess role, like a certificate for it, but I don't actually work as a chief stewardess as yet. I'm working up to that. Okay. But also, I am a master scuba diver trainer, which is an instructor of scuba diving. So I teach scuba diving courses up to dive master. So from open water to dive master. As well as I do local guiding, so off of yachts. So if a yacht was to come into the Bahamas, I would take them out and show them around underneath the water, show them all the beautiful things. I'm also a Reef Rescue Network instructor. And what that is just coral rehabilitation. So we build coral nurseries around the Bahamas and outplant them into the reef. It's very cool. And what else do I do? I mean, what do I
You
just
are
do?
an underwater photographer.
Photographer, yes. Okay. That's where I started. I started off in underwater photography and then I kind of worked my way up in the industry. And then I became a stewardess. So I pretty much pair all of that together. So if you hire me on board, I'm able to do all of those things. Yeah. And
Hold on,
I'm
let's.
from the Bahamas, I'm Bahamian.
Right. So I interviewed Ashton last week, and his interview
Oh,
will be out in a couple of weeks.
yeah. Okay.
And he emphasized that there are not a lot of Bahamian yachties. He kept saying
Yeah.
Bahamian yachty, Bahamian yachty. And I'm from San Diego. I don't want to. I like to say I'm like pretty traveled, but like
Yeah.
maybe in a way I'm not, because I did go swimming in the shark infested.
You did
I don't
in
know if
Exuma?
that
Was it like the nurse sharks?
No, honey, in Nassau, like
Oh, like the actual shark site. Oh, with the reef sharks.
yes,
Oh, that's amazing. You did that.
it's amazing I survived.
You didn't tell me. I would have gave you like the pro tips.
Well, I'm here. I made it.
Yes, made it.
I have all my
That's
limbs.
awesome.
But like, so what I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to all things Bahamas. Okay. I saw what you posted on Instagram with the list of all of the K's, and I was like, there's like 100. So
Yeah, there's well that and that's just the Exuma Keys. That's not like the entire Bahamas. That's just one chain of islands.
which K are you from in the Bahamas, or which island are you from?
Okay, I'm from Nassau, so I was born and raised in Nassau. Some of my family is from San Salvador and Crooked Island. And I just recently moved back to San Salvador and I've started building a home and everything, so that's pretty exciting.
Ooh.
Yeah,
So
yes.
you're like establishing a home base after being a nomad as a
Yeah.
yahoo for all these years.
Yes.
I know that you do all these things with like conservation and like education about sharks, and I see all your photos about sharks and it scares the hell out of me. But how did yachting get on your radar?
Well, okay, so that's an interesting question. A lot of people ask me that. Well, my dad, all of my life, my dad's been a yacht captain. So pretty much from the day I was born, it's kind of like I was like born into this stuff. And I've worked with him even whilst I was in high school. So he would be delivering yachts from Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas, and I would go along with him. I would help him with the paperwork, you know. And at the time, I was only like 15 years old, but you know, it was fun. Like I enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed helping out my dad, and you know, taking like the crossovers, like from Fort Lauderdale straight into, you know. So it was always fun. And then when I graduated high school, which was a long time ago, I won't say, but
I don't even want to go there. I'm sure you're younger than me. Like, let's not do this.
no, I'm not.
I don't
I'm
think.
not. No. So when I graduated high school, you know, I wanted to become, it's crazy because I actually wanted to become a graphic artist like my mom. And when I got back home, because I lived in Fort Lauderdale during high school. So when I came back to the Bahamas, I was like, well, you know, what's making money right now? And my dad was like back and forth all the time. And I just kind of like stuck with him, did some work, day work, walking around the dock, you know, anything I could help my dad out with, working as a deckhand, cleaning inside, you know, like I just did a lot, you know. And at first it was just, you know, oh, I wanted to make money. And then I got into IT and I did IT for quite some time, like maybe about 5 years. And then after IT, I had a really nice paying job in IT as a project manager and a personal assistant. And then I gave it up to become a dive instructor, which everybody was like, yeah, everyone thought I was insane. They're like, oh, you're leaving your high paying job that you've worked so hard for to be a dive instructor. Like no one could comprehend why I would have done that, but I just wasn't happy. You know, I loved scuba diving, but I liked IT. It wasn't my passion. So I found a job listed as an underwater photographer and I hopped on it and I was like, I'm going to do this. And I left my job to become a dive instructor and it's been great ever since, you know.
Well, you see, this is the thing that fascinates me about you, because you are the co-founder of the Ocean of Color, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Along with Sandy, yes.
Yeah, so like, I know that Bahamas is A, full of Black people.
Yeah, it is predominantly Black, yes.
Yes. And B, water sports and all of these things are like normal there.
Yeah.
But for some of us from the States, those are white people activities.
Yeah.
So a lot of us don't get involved in kite surfing and surfing, yeah, and diving, like, because those things, and sometimes in the States, require money. Yes. Like, you have to have money to do these recreational activities.
Oh, right, exactly. Right? Mm-hmm.
So what I love about your businesses and you is that you're like, you don't have to be white to be able to do this.
No.
Right? And like, no. I feel like that's part of the message, and it's not so, you know, blatant the way that I say it, but it's like, yeah, you're making it visible for people that are like, whoa, I've never seen this before. For me, for one, never did. And I'm like, oh, because there's all these stigmas about Black people not being able to swim. And maybe that's just an American thing.
Yes. I know, like even growing up, even like going to visit my grandmother in San Salvador, like I was always the kid that was in the water, you know. So it's something like, for instance, some parents would say, oh, don't get too close to the water, the sharks, or, you know, you can't swim, get away from there. It's never like, oh, let me find someone that can help you learn how to swim or encourage you, because this space is for everyone and it's not just for white people, you know. So we have to kind of break that and change that narrative, because it's not right, you know. Huh. There's kids that want to do those types of things, but if their parents and the mentors that they have are kind of like saying those negative things about it, then they're going to be like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't do that, you know, or they're going to stop doing what they're passionate about because someone else said that it's not for you, when it is, you know. So that's my main goal when you see me on, you know, social media, is to put those photos out there of me doing those things. Because when I first started, like, I was looking for somebody that, you know, looked like me, and that was a hard thing to find. And I'm like, you know what, maybe I'm just gonna be my own hero and put those things online for everybody to see and for them to know that you're welcomed here. It's not a white person thing, you know, it's an everyone thing. So that's kind of how the Ocean of Color came about. You know.
Yeah. I love that. I love to see it. I love to see your braids floating around in the ocean.
I have them today. I took them out.
I love your curly hair. It looks,
Thank you.
I just love seeing natural hair and protective hairstyles underwater with goggles on and fins. And it's just
Yes.
maybe I don't, I'm, you know, it could just be me. Maybe I'm just ignorant. But at the same time, seeing representation in mainstream media is,
So
I mean,
important.
it's so important. And like
It is.
me seeing it as a 33-year-old woman is like expanding my own mind. And now it's making me think maybe I should take a Patty course.
Yes, you should. I
Maybe
will do
I should come.
that
I
for you.
think
Free of charge. Take
I
up the offer now.
I'll cook for you or something. I don't know. But like I would love to, but you know, I think about how important it is for me to see those things and how important it is for our younger generation to see it, that it won't be like, well, that's a white person sport or that's a white person activity or whatever. Like, I know it sounds silly and only the people from America will know what I'm talking about when I say this, maybe, but like, I'm just being honest. Like, it's not my parents either. I have an interracial family, so they didn't put
Okay.
ideas in my head. It was the lack of seeing it, you know,
Yes, that's true.
or maybe
And
a lack
the lack of
of
it
resources.
being around, like, even in schools, like I noticed because I went to school over there, but I don't remember there being like, my school didn't have a pool. But those are some of the things that I think that needs to be put in place into school systems, different types of activities that are, open to everybody. Because it's easy to have a pool. You can just make a pool and the kids can come in and, have those types of courses because diving is not just like, I feel like diving is really disciplined to me. It's taught me a lot. It's made so many different connections. And it's given me a lot of opportunities. So, and if you get certified, the amount of things you can do from just being a diver, I mean, there's underwater welding, there's crimes, forensics underwater. Like, there's so many different jobs. You can join, I think, doesn't the Navy have a dive
Oh,
team?
yes, and they have an
Yeah.
emergency rescue.
Right, emergency rescue, Coast Guard, like there's so many different avenues that you can take if you do decide to scuba dive, like, and that's the stuff that's not being said. It's just like, oh no, that's crazy. Why would you want to do that? All those sharks under the water, I'm like, are you worried about sharks? No.
I really am. I'm terrified.
In all honesty, like
Hold on.
every time
It says
I
here that
scuba dive,
you are like a shark. aren't you a shark awareness instructor?
I am a shark awareness
Oh,
instructor.
I'm so scared.
No, you don't have to be afraid. Look, you have to take the okay, you have to be open-minded when it comes to sharks because a lot of mainstream media really makes sharks out to be terrifying and
I know.
man-eaters and all that stuff. It's literally for ratings. It's not, there's only so much you could say about a shark, and because they look scary, people run with that. And like I said, they use that for ratings. Okay. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Okay,
I've worked
I believe
in
you.
film as well. So I've seen them take things and really
You're the
misinterpret.
expert, so I'm gonna
Yeah.
believe you on this one for
And
sure.
then what I was saying was, like, when I go scuba diving, sometimes I don't see sharks for a week. Not every time you go scuba diving, you're going to see a shark. A lot of places you travel around the world, I know people who dive every day and they don't see sharks at all. And they're like, oh, I just want to come to the Bahamas so I can see sharks. You don't always see them.
I saw tons of sharks in
Yeah, you saw them in
the
the Bahamas because they're actually by law, they're protected here. So we do have,
Oh,
yeah, they're
okay.
protected by law. So, you're gonna see them because this is literally their home. Like, this is where they come
And you guys
to.
protect them here too,
Yeah,
or there, here.
exactly. Yeah.
Let's talk about your stewardess because you have so many more amazing things going on in your life other than being a super yacht chief stew, which is pretty huge. But like, I want to hear more about how you got in
Other than my father,
and where
that I think that, yeah, working with him
yeah.
really put me in a position where, I was placed in front of yacht owners, you know, so that ended up just pretty much happening on its own. So I was able to contact all the dock masters and everything, because my dad is like friends with them, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, my daughter's getting into it, you know, she's going to send you her CV, and you know, if anybody's interested in hiring, you know. So that's not how I originally got my first job, but that also helped because it was passed on. Now, I've never gotten a job from an agency ever. It's always been word of mouth. I did a great job. Someone told someone else, that's a friend that has a yacht. It's never been like, I have all of my CVs and everything on all agency platforms. I mean, Crew Finders, Northrop, everyone. I've never gotten a job from an agency, which is strikingly crazy because, you know, I have friends that have gotten jobs from agencies, but their picture was never on their CV. So it just makes me think, like, you know, not to say that it's, yeah, but it's crazy. And I actually tested this. I took it off and I got a call. I didn't get a job, but I got a call. So it's insane, you know. And the thing is, my name is Katie. So most of the time people think that I am white because of my name. And then when I pull up there and I'm this black girl with curves and shape, you know, it's like,
oh, oh
yeah.
I have this goddess on board.
So, and I have heard a lot of times that I am intimidating. And I don't think it's my personality. It's just, yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe a rustic bitch face or something.
No, we're not giving this narrative any more attention, okay? Because Simone said the same thing, that she got fired because the chief stew said she doesn't smile enough.
Yeah, wow.
They weren't even on charter.
Wow.
So I don't think any of that's true. Like, I mean, maybe resting bitch face exists, but I think people use that as an excuse when you are a person of color. It's an easy out for them saying, hi, I'm racist. No, I'm not racist. You just have resting bitch face. I'm not racist, but you have an attitude problem. I'm not racist,
yep.
You know, but you are lazy. It's like, what are you talking about?
I'll tell you, that as of late, someone who I work with has told me, and I'm still trying to figure this out. We had a talk because I got fed up with being treated a certain way. So I reached out to her and I was like talking to her about, you know, and she said that I was intimidating. And then she also said that I just have some type of face. I don't even remember what the word was that she used, but it's kind of like she was trying to say I have a unusual face, or like, you know. And I was like, what? I was so confused about it. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you know, she's like, oh, you just have like that type of face. And I'm like, okay, is that a compliment? Or like, are you trying to say that I'm black?
That's not what's the word? You know, one of those faces. You just black.
I don't. Yeah, and then she would do this thing where she would like, she knows that we're working together because we're like the only two people in the room present, and we're interior. So you know, she would like, I would walk up to her, and I realized that every time I walked up to her, she would literally get startled or afraid of me.
And she would clutch the purse?
Yes! No, not the purse, but she would be working or doing something, and she literally would, like, get afraid of me, Gabby. And I was like, okay. So I talked to her, I'm like, look, you have to tell me, if I'm in a room, if we work together, like, I know you're in here. I know eventually you're going to walk up on me and ask me something. So why would I get afraid? You know, so it was just uncomfortable. And after I spoke to her about it, I said, do you think that I would like hurt you in any way? She's like, no, I don't. I'm like, okay, well, I'm a bit confused as to why you would like be afraid of me. And she did it so many times, you know, and after I spoke to her about it,
it sounds like she needs therapy. honestly, like Really, because like when I'm in a room and I'm making a bed and I'm cleaning and I'm in my zone and a white person walks in the room and says something to me, I'm like, I mean, I have the same like reaction. I'm like, oh, don't kill me.
It's just insane the amount of things that happened, working on yachts and having to deal with so many different personalities and,
Well, yeah, I mean, I think everyone has that having to live with people, having to adjust, and having to deal with different personalities. But like, I feel like there's an added layer of stuff you have to deal with when you are a black woman, specifically. You know, because at least the black men in our industry are on deck or in the engineering room, and they're not a front of house. They're not facing the clients. So not only do you have to deal with microaggressions from your coworkers, now you have to deal with microaggressions from your client. So I mean, and colorism is a huge thing too. So like I'm over here talking like I know everything, but like at the same time, I might not have the same experiences as you just because I'm light skinned.
I remember what she said now.
What is
She
it?
said, "You have a strong face."
Thank you.
Yeah, and I was like, I went back to DeAndrio and I was like, "What do you think about that?" And he's like, "That's an interesting way to put it." And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I don't know what he means. I'm
Your
confused."
strong face intimidates me. Thank you. I would have
I
just.
know that's the same thing I said. I was like, okay.
And
Thanks.
that's my problem, though. Like, that's what I don't understand is that a lot of people in our industry can just say things like that as if you're supposed to adjust now when you've already been adjusting and tweaking your facial expressions or your behavior. Like, you can't even deep sigh in a room with people being like, what's wrong? It's like, I'm just breathing.
Exactly.
I don't know. Like, I feel like when I'm at work, especially when I'm working outside, I tend to do this a lot. Because it's bright, but
It's
I feel like
right.
I always have to check myself and consciously
Yeah,
not
me too. Me
sit
too.
or smile like extra.
Oh, you know what? So in Patty, when you actually get your Patty instructor, so during you do what's called like an IDC, so it's like a development course that you go through before you get your instructor. And I just always remember my course director saying, "Patty Cheeseball Face." So now I kind of do that. Like I check myself a lot. I'm like, "Oh, cheeseball face." Even when someone says something to me, because I've had a lot of different trips where I had to like literally go in the dark somewhere and just cry because it's just so much adversity that you go through that you have to like overcome, And people say things and they don't realize it's racist. And maybe they do, but for me, it's like I'm always the black person in the interior. So people get really comfortable really quick and then they forget that I'm black and they say things and I'm like, okay, like what do I do?
Yeah, what
Or
do you do? I like, what do you do? Like, seriously, like, I want to know, like, A, working on a boat is hard enough in terms of dealing with personalities, living there, working there 24/7 as interior. I feel like you're always on the clock. At least the hands get to clock out, you know. No one's gonna ask for you to put out the slide at 8 p.m. Like, you know, I feel like as the interior, you're always on the
You're
clock.
always right. You're pretty much up until the guests go down,
And then
So
you're up as soon as
and
they.
then you're still up after they go down because you kind of have to straighten things up. And then if you have to prep anything for the next morning, you kind of have to get all of that done before you even say, "Oh, I'm headed to bed," And then when you get to bed, it's like you either have to shower and kind of like wind down and get yourself ready. And then you have to creep into your room because you don't want to like disturb anyone, And you might have had a really long day and you kind of just want to sit there and just ball out and cry because it's like so much you went through, But you
That's
kind of just
what
have
I
to suck
want
it up.
to know. How do you deal with being the only black woman on board sometimes?
A lot of times for me, I would say, I'll give you my daily routine because maybe that'll help you because I deal with that kind of stuff on a daily basis. So when I do wake up, you know, I kind of like, I don't just get out of bed. I open my eyes. I'm usually like the second person in the bathroom. So I'm like a 6 o'clock up at 6 in the bathroom till 6:30, you know, up on deck till at 7. But I just lay there for a little bit and I kind of do affirmations. So I kind of have to tell myself, you're ready for the day. You've got this, you know, and it's a lot of times that's what it is for me. It's me telling myself that I'm going to be okay and I'm a strong person. And this is just a walk in the park. You've got this, like you've dealt with like worse things than this, you know, like you'll get through it. So it's usually me having to like tell myself that. And then when I actually encounter it, you know, sometimes I just brush it off because I can't pay attention to it at that moment because I'm like working. So I just ignore it. And then I get back to it when I've already thought about it because I don't like, I'm very much a person. If I were to respond right on the spot, it would be very harsh. It would probably make you cry and I would probably get fired. So I've had to learn how, like, I'm serious. I've had to learn how to ignore certain things. Walk away, deal with my, because the clients are more important than you telling me something of that sort. You know what I mean? Like if
Absolutely.
I'm getting a drink or if I'm dealing with something, I'm running around. My tasks per day are like in the hundreds. So I'm literally like, I can't listen to what you're saying right now. I gotta go, you know? And then I get back to it later and I'm like, hey, you know, what you said today wasn't, you know, like it's wrong. It's racist. You know, I actually tell people that. Because I feel like if you don't, they're gonna continuously do it. And they're not gonna, some people don't even realize what they're saying is racist. So you have to kind of really explain to them, which is sad. But I find that a lot of times too, like a lot of people I work with, they haven't even, they have never, gr they didn't grow up seeing people like us. Like they come from these backgrounds where they probably didn't see white, black people. They didn't have them as friends, you know. They're watching certain shows that don't even depict, you know,
That's true.
what, you know, like they're not, they don't know, like they really don't know.
I
And
literally cannot name one movie or TV show that has to do with the ocean with black characters, unless
yeah,
it's a movie about slavery, which is
yeah,
really, really
which is sad,
problematic,
yes,
actually,
yeah, they're
now
yeah.
that I think about it. So yeah, some of these people are growing up with no black rep. They don't know how to act. They don't know
Don't
how
know how to act. They
to
don't know how to act, trust me. So yes, you have to expose them. You have to say to them, okay, I that hurt my feelings. You know, you should say that because if you don't, it's gonna just they're gonna just continue to continuously do it, you know. And I have like one of my coworkers is like that. Like she literally is clueless, but you know, like I've been talking to her and she's gotten a bit better, you know, at it
Are
and
you getting paid to educate people? You're adding an extra duty to my list of duties now, and I'm not getting paid for it. So this is getting frustrating. And I feel like it sounds harsh that I say that, but like white people don't have to consider any of this. They just get to focus 100% on their job sometimes.
Yeah.
And not in just yachting. I'm not just gonna bash yachting because I think it's a great career.
Yeah.
I think it offers so much. It's super fulfilling. But I'm just saying, like, I want people to be aware of this. Like, you get to clock in and only worry about your actual job. You don't have
Job,
to
right?
worry about educating people on how to talk to you.
Or how to just be strong. You
Yeah.
have to do all of that. Plus, you have to like literally build up this like hard shell
And
to
you have to
get
police
those things
yourself.
done, you know? So that's for me, that's the hard part is like constantly building up a hard shell to protect myself from those types of things, you know, just to perform. And if I want to perform to the best of my ability, like having to do that and what you said, like, you know, it's like it's so much. It's like, girl,
You have five
it's
jobs. It's like you have five jobs and
hard.
everyone else has one. Everyone else on the boat is like, la da 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 da. Let me polish this stainless steel. And you're like, I gotta watch my face. I gotta make sure my hair is whatever. I have to tell you not to talk to me that way in a nice way. So then you don't say I have an attitude and then write me off as the angry, angry black girl.
And then there's the uniforms.
Uniforms
are like, I mean, it might sound crazy, but every time I went, listen to this. I have about 5 skorts. Every one a different color. I carry those with me because when I first got into it, I kept going onto boats and I couldn't find anything that fit me because I am very curvy. So, you know, and my butt's not that small, you know, that's so funky. Talk about people wearing a size 0 and I'm wearing a size 10, you know, so it's just like, and you don't ever really find size 10.
Let me tell you. So. The zeros don't even fit right.
Yeah, they don't fit.
So they're like, they fit you around your hips and your butt, and then they're like huge around the waist. Like, I don't see any of the yachting brands, and you all know who I'm talking about, because there's like two.
Wow. They're
not made for like our body types.
No. Right? Yeah, I found one brand that really stands out to me that I've used for years now, and it's Beach Bum.
Beach Bum? They have yacht wear?
I think it's Beach Bum. I'll have to check my skort, but I think it is Beach Bum. And they have like a really nice skort. Like it has zips to the side and it's like, girl, it fits. And I have those in every color. And that works for me, but it's just a pain in the ass to have to travel with those types of things, you know?
Yeah. Because so when you get on a boat and you're like, okay, I'm a size 10 or a size 8.
Yeah.
It's like a whole thing, right? When everyone's searching all of the cubby holes and underneath this bed and that bed for your size.
Trying to find your size. Mm-hmm.
Cause now you're put on blast. Now the focal point is on you. Then you're like,
you have a big butt.
Like, well, can you fit a 6? And you're like, I have an ass.
Yes. And then the shirts are like all extra small. So that's another thing too.
Which boats are you working on? Because every boat that I've worked on, I'm swimming in the uniform. I'm wearing a size 6,
girl.
17 safety pins on it.
Wow. I'm
swimming in my,
I want to work on that boat.
I'm just sending pictures of me floating in these uniforms.
Wow.
Looking crazy, which I didn't care because I'm working anyways. But like, I see all these other stewardesses walking around with their fitted little cute uniforms, and I'm like, you ain't that cute anyway.
But you know, and that's hard because like when you're working, for me, it's like most of the time if I don't carry my own things, it's too tight. And so I'm like trying to work, but I'm also trying to pull my skirt down because I don't want someone like looking up my rear, you know, or like, you know, or I'm walking and it's riding up and I'm like, you know, so that's my problem. So it's like you're carrying a tray and then you're trying to pull your skirt down and you're trying to smile and you're trying to serve. And it, you know, it's
difficult when you have like body, like when you got body, because you got body, like body, you got body, and body. Like you got body. So like let's just say there's a 5'8" straight like white girl in a tiny little skirt, she's not gonna get called a hoochie.
No.
But if you got boobs and you got a tiny little waist and you got a butt, it's like you all of a sudden you're being provocative. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So and it's also sexualized.
It is.
Yeah, because I've had like situations where I'm like serving and literally like a man would like, you know, the guest would like, he's like trying to touch my hand and I'm like, oh no, gotta go, you know, like come on. You know,
well, but it's just tough being so beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It's tough. Like, yeah, because it's not what a normal, well, I wouldn't even say that word because that I shouldn't say that. But it's not what is usually accepted in the yachting industry. You have most people go for like blonde hair, blue eyes, size 1. You know, like
I've been thinking about this lately.
So
that I think that I don't think that yachting is very militaristic, but in a way it models a lot of their it's a little bit militaristic, but like in the military individuality is not accepted. The whole point is that it's uniform.
So yeah.
You can't have a personality. You can't have any qualities that stand out because you're a soldier and that doesn't matter. Your personality and your quirks don't matter. And I feel like I'm starting to understand that yachting is the same way, especially if you're working on, you know, an 80 meter plus boat. It's like, and there's 50 crew members or whatever. You should all, like, the guests shouldn't notice that there's 50 different crew members.
They
shouldn't be able to tell you from Katie or Sarah. Like, they want everyone to look the same. It's supposed to be uniform. I think that's why tattoos or piercings or crazy hairstyles are not welcome. Because I think that individuality is not essential to the career. It's, you're supposed to be low key and like the same as everyone else. So somehow, somewhere in this yachting world, they decided that a 5'7" Scandinavian with blonde hair and blue eyes was the look of luxury. You know? And so they kept it that way for a long time. Right?
Sorry. That just hit home for me because I've had a situation where, like, a recruiter, one time I went into Fort Lauderdale and I got called to just, you know, they're like, oh, since you're, you know, I went and I put in, like, I was, you know, when you go in and you update and say you're here or whatever, and you just say hello and you check in. So I did that. And the recruiter was like, oh, you should pass by and say hello, whatever. I'm like, okay. And then he starts talking to me, I guess, because he didn't realize that I was Black. And he's like, oh, I'm like, so why did you ask me here to tell me all this stuff? And he's like, oh, I just wanted to warn you because this is what the industry is looking for. And I'm like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. You know, and I just can't believe that's actually what they think. Like, how do you think that calling me in to talk to me about what do you think?
Like, or why are you trying to discourage me?
Yeah, but he was like telling me that he wasn't trying to discourage me. He was saying that he wanted to give me a heads up so I'm not disappointed with XYZ, you know. And every time I tell that story, I'm just like, I should have cursed his ass out.
You should have,
you know. But you but the thing is,
recruiters all around the world, and that's another thing. So when I was telling Ashton, when I went to the Bahamas, I've never seen so many Black yachties before. And he's like, really, where? And I'm like, what? I saw at least one Black person on each boat that was in the marina for those two weeks. Yeah. And there was like 20 yachts in the marina. And he's like, really? That's interesting. And I'm like, well, not all of them were Bahamian, but like, that was the first time I've ever seen so many Black yachties working in my life. Like,
right.
And he's like, wow, that's interesting, because, you know, he comes from a family of captains. So with that being said, I want to go to the Med. I want to work on a boat in the Med. But I'm scared because, like, I don't want to say I know how all Europeans think, but at the same time, I'm like, what are the chances of me getting on a boat that's going to the Med with a certain mentality of luxury is light skin, luxury is no tattoos, luxury is straight hair, luxury is light eyes, like, and I know that that's
a whole different ball game,
right
over there.
So like you said, you've worked on all your yachts have been in the Bahamas. Would you say to Black people wanting to get in the industry that they should start in the Bahamas and gain their longevity and experience in the Bahamas before venturing out? Or do you say go for it and, like, let's break the mold?
Well, I would say go for it, because I have a friend that works, he's a first mate on, like, I think it's over about 200 something feet. Ooh. And he's been working in the Med for years. Every time I talk to him, he's somewhere new. I think I just recently messaged him, like, in Christmas, and it was like he was in Dubai, you know, like, he's all over, like, he's working, you know. So it is possible. I would say if it's something that you dream of, you do it. For me, it's just I never went to the Med because I never knew if I could be that far away from home, you know, or if I would get to scuba dive, or, you know, like, it was so many variables that I was thinking about. And I really want to build an industry where I live, and the only way for me to do that is to be hands-on in it here. So that's why, you know, I didn't go. I've never had an interest in it. But I would say, you know, if you're in the US and it's closer for you to come into the Caribbean to start your experience, then go for it. I mean, there's places like Aruba, St. Kitts, St. Martin, like there's like so many avenues, so many different places, Jamaica, you know, you don't have to just come to the Bahamas, but the Bahamas is close in proximity. So if that's a good place for you to start and you want to not be so far away from home, give it a try.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
One of the reasons why I like this show is because, all right, we've already pointed it out. It's not a secret. There's hardly any Black people in yachting.
Yeah.
It's not like a huge discovery. It's like obvious, but like, I want more representation in the industry. And I think that just us talking about this, just letting people know like, hey, we're out here. I love this. See, and this is why we all need to talk. Because maybe there's a future Black yachty out there that's watching this. Like, how do I get started? Where should I go? Are there other Black people? Like, this is what we need. And it's not like, we're not excluding anybody. But like, having the support system and knowing that there is a path for us is super important. Because that held me back from getting into yachting. I'm looking at all of the, when I was like signing up for all of the recruitment agencies and I see their publications, there's no Black people in there. When I see the yachting magazines, there's no Black people in any of the advertisements. I'm not going to name the magazine, but there's a certain yachting magazine where they interview or highlight a crewmate, like every issue. Like every issue that comes out, they're like, chef or first mate on this boat, blah, blah. I have really yet to see a Black person being interviewed. Like, I just think just being visible at all and just being frank and honest about yachting is very important. I hope
that sport is extremely important.
It is. Like, why would you think to get into an industry when we were talking about diving or whatever, water sports, if I never saw any Black person on TV, I just don't think it's for me. Like, call me dumb or just like small-minded. I don't know. Yeah. But like, as a child, like those things
kind of fall
off of your radar because
your brain
works in this way where it just cancels it out. Like, that's not for us. You know,
that's crazy because yesterday I went out with one of my really good friends. We went to the beach and she has a daughter. I think her daughter's like 6 or 7. And she was like, oh, mom, like she's talking about sharks and stuff. And she's like, I have two friends that, you know, they're into sharks. And she showed her the guy, my friend Andre. She showed him Andre's page first. And she's like, but what about the girls? Like, you know, is that girls who swim with sharks? Like, you know, I want to see the girls swimming with sharks. So then she showed her my page and I'm like, she's like, what? And then she said, I want to do that too. And I'm like, it's crazy. Like, you know, those are some of the conversations that are not being had, you know, with the younger generation. So.
Exactly. And it's not just about race. It's about gender too. Or, there's a lot of things that that's something that men do or something that boys do or whatever. And I think yachting is for everyone. I think being a seafarer is for everyone. I think the maritime industry is for everyone. And it just, I know there's a ton of women out there that work in this industry. I know there are. It's just the lack of visibility.
Yes.
That's all it is. Like there are a bunch of female captains and female engineers and first mates that like, you know, maybe they're just quiet about it because they're like, I've been through so much to get here. Like, I don't even feel like talking anymore.
Yeah, a lot of people think that if they do speak out about it, it's going to ruin their careers. You know, that's another thing. But I mean, how else would I know? Like, so me discussing what I've been through with you, you know, maybe you can relate to that. And what I said to you maybe could have helped you with your situation. You know what I mean? Like now you have someone that's relatable that has been through it already, and they're now giving you advice on how to, you know, overcome whatever it is that you're going through in your situation in or on the boat. So, you know, so I feel like it's just, like you said, we have to have these conversations so we're able to talk about things we're going through. And it's good to share because it helps you with, you know, just getting through it.
Absolutely. And you might be helping someone else, like you said, that is afraid to speak out, or maybe they're on a boat and they feel like they're experiencing racism, but they can't say anything.
Yeah.
And instead of just internalizing it and like eating it up, like just watching the show, even if it's in secrecy, it's like, oh, okay, it's not just me.
Yeah, it's not just me, right? It's someone else that also has that, so. Oh, and there's, so my friend, Inay Albury, she's another stewardess. She has an online course that she's made on Udemy that's called Break Into Yachting. So it's like an introductory to yachting, the yachting industry. And it's very informative, and it's a Black girl talking about yachting and teaching about yachting. And it's such an amazing course. Like, I've actually, you know, she gave it to me to really go through and see, you know, how it is, and to give her some advice on anything that maybe we could change or work better at. And we've actually gotten a good number of students that were Bahamian that took the course. But I feel like internationally, like, Black people need to get into this, like, take the course. It's like $20.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. And it's just an introductory. So it's just kind of like telling you of, you know, like yachting terms, uniforms, CV, you know, like the basic stuff, to even see if this is something that you would take on as a career, you know, because a lot of people don't even know that the yachting industry exists.
Hello.
So yeah, so it's a very good course. I can actually send you the link.
Please do.
Yes. So you can take a look at it, but it's an amazing course, and I feel like it will really be beneficial for people, you know, of our skin color to get on in and check it out. Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially because it's like written in a in our like lens, in our world view. Yeah. It might be, that's another thing, like the material, the courses, and I feel like a lot of the I don't want to go on this rant again, but a lot of things that happen to you on board can be written off as hierarchy. Mm-hmm. You not understanding your place. So if you're a junior stew or you're a junior deckhand, you should expect to get treated like crap and you should take it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I respect hierarchy, okay? I understand the reason for it. I get it. But at the same time, you can't say that, well, I'm not racist. It's just that you're a junior stew. It's like, well, you didn't treat the other junior stew like that.
Yeah, like that. It's all about respect. You know, I'm still a human being other than the color of my skin. I'm still human. Like, we still have, like, if we were to all take our skin off, we would all just be humans, you know, like,
the same.
Like, yeah. I don't get that. Like, that's what really pisses me off, is that people make this about skin color thing. And it's like, at the end of the day, we're still humans. We still exist in the universe together. At the end of the day, if the earth was to blow up, the white people won't live and the Black people will die because they're Black, you know, everyone's going down, you know, like, it's just, I don't know. I heard my little cousin say that. I was like, oh wow, that's interesting that you think about it like that.
Well, thank God for this generation coming in. Honestly, Gen Z is gonna save the world. No, it's been such a pleasure talking to you and finally getting to meet you.
Yes.
Thank you, Tracy.
I know, right?
But I would love you to plug your Instagram and all of your other ventures that you're working on, your projects or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, tell me.
All right, so you can find me online, basically on Instagram, Mermaid Katie, that's KATIES, so Mermaid Katie's, and that's on all platforms, basically Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it's all the same. I also have my underwater photography that's online. So it's www.katiestorephoto.com.
Nice. I feel
and
like
if you want to check out like the conservation stuff,
yeah,
there's the Reef Rescue Network. So they're part of the Perry Institute for Marine Science. And they're just on Instagram as Reef Rescue Network.
Reef Rescue Network. Rescue
Network, yes.
I feel like you're kind of a marine biologist, like a freelance marine biologist.
Well, I'm not actually a biologist. I'm just a conservationist. I don't actually have a degree for biology, but I've worked so closely with sharks for so many years that, you know, it's kind of became my thing. Like, if you can see, I have a hammerhead.
You do.
His name's Harry.
Thank you for joining us, Katie, on Yachting International Radio on Diversity in Yachting.
I'm so happy. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today.
And thank you for sharing your story.